Amen. I'm glad for the wonderful grace of God today. Amen. Look in your Bible. Yes, ma'am. Help yourself. Amen, sis. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Look in your Bibles, the book of Judges this morning. Book of Judges chapter 13. It is good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. And the Lord is worthy to be praised today. Amen. Judges 13, you will and able stand this morning. Judges chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse number 24 today. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God that appeared, brought salvation. And then since that day, it's been a teaching us. Amen. And I praise Him and I thank Him for that from the depth of my soul. Judges chapter 13, beginning in verse number 24. The Bible said, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Then look over at Judges 16. Judges chapter 16 and beginning in verse 20. Judges chapter 16 and beginning in verse number 20. The Bible says there, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house, and howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he..." Pray together. Father, I thank you today for mercy. I thank you for grace. Lord, what a joy the songs have been to our heart today. A reminder that we, the people of God, have a better place to look forward to. Thank you for the good testimony of the saving grace of God. I pray, Lord, you'd help us now as we look in your word. God, you've been burdening my heart and burdening my heart with these verses in these days. And I pray for unction of the Holy Ghost. I to preach it exactly the way you bid me to preach it this morning. I pray you'd save that soul nearest hell. Help us as your people to draw nigh to you. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We find in Judges chapter 13 through Judges chapter 16, we're introduced to a man by the name of Samson. Now, there's several things as introduction I want to give you that we learn about Samson in these chapter, in these verses. We're told in chapter 13 that his birth was foretold. An angel of the Lord came and appeared to Manoah and his wife and let him know, though she's been barren, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be a vessel for me to use. So we find his birth is foretold. We find that also in chapter 13 and verse 24, the latter part, and the Lord blessed him. Samson experienced the blessings of the Lord. Hey, can I say this? A saint and sinner both are blessed by God. Life is a blessing. Life is a gift. And Samson is blessed by the Lord. We find that also in studying these chapters, that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him at times. You find in chapter 13 and verse 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Chapter 14 and verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then in chapter 15 and verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Samson knew what it was for the Spirit of the living God to empower him to do great things for God's glory and honor. So we find the Spirit of God moved upon him. According to Judges chapter 13 and verse number 5, we find that also that God raised him up to be a deliverer for Israel. Understand, back in chapter 13 and verse 1, we find the children of Israel have been there under the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Why is that, preacher? Well, a repetitive theme through the book of Judges. The people sin, and then they wind up in servitude, and then God raised up somebody to be a savior, to deliver them. And that's what's happening here again. Israel is in a captivity. They're under the hand of the Philistines, but God raised up a deliverer by the name of Samson. Also, according to chapter 15 and verse 20, he is a judge in Israel. The Bible says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So he's a deliverer and he's a judge. He is in a place of authority in the land of Israel. Also, you learn in chapter 13 that he takes a Nazirite vow. You can study the book of Numbers, learn more about it. It involved three things in particular. He was not to drink strong drink, no kind of fermented alcoholic type drink. He was forbidden to touch it. He was also not to cut his hair. He didn't cut his hair. Now, I'm going to stay right here and then I'll move on. I want you to understand, Samson's strength did not come from his hair. That's a great misunderstanding among church folk. They think that long hair was his strength. That's not so. That just was a sign of his covenant with God, that Nazirite vow. Here's what the Bible says about hair and men this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. The Bible says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Hey, that Nazirite vow brought shame. That's right now. Hey, somebody said it don't matter what you look. Oh, it does according to this Bible. Amen. And I'll just throw this out too. A lot of modern day beauticians won't say this, but if you'll find you an old barber somewhere that's been at this thing a long time, they'll tell you this: a man has a natural hairline. He sure does. God intended for men to look like men and women to look like women. Now, that ain't popular. That ain't going to make you shout. That ain't going to make you make a run, get a CD of this, but it's right.
Amen. Hey, Samson had a Nazarite vow. He was bearing shame to be a deliverer and a judge in Israel under that Nazarite vow. He was also forbidden to touch a dead body. He couldn't come near something dead or someone dead. It was forbidden under the Nazarite vow. You find out that separation and consecration was very important if you'd taken a Nazarite vow. Now, I will say this too. For young Christians, we don't take Nazarite vows in this day. That's Old Testament teaching. You don't find that taught in the New Testament. And that's where our doctrine from the church comes from, is the New Testament. Amen. And the New Testament again tells a man he ought not have long hair because it'd be a shame to him. That's right. So we find he has the Nazarite vow. But then also I find in Hebrews 11 and verse 32 that Samson made the hall of faith. Amen. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11. And what shall I more say of the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson? Now, I want you to hang with me just a minute. I'm getting to my thought right now. For a long time, I've been preaching 31 years. I've preached on Samson many times through the years at other places. And Samson's a puzzle to me. There's a lot about Samson. And be honest with you, for a long time I couldn't figure out how he made Hebrews 11. Amen. If you'll read chapter 13 through 16, you'd say amen to that. How in the world does Samson make Hebrews 11? Well, here's the wonder of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I've been preaching 31 years and God showed me a verse in Judges 15 and verse number 20. Listen to the verse again. The Bible says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. These events is not a day or two or a month or two or just a year, but for 20 years he is a judge and deliverer of Israel. That's how he makes Hebrews 11, because somewhere in his life he did exercise faith. Amen. Now what we're reading, we have no record of the act of faith. Hello. We are reading his latter part of his earthly ministry in chapters 14, 15, and 16. There's a long time that we know nothing about with Samson, but he must have been exercising faith. Otherwise, he'd never made Hebrews 11. So I understand this. Samson knew the Lord. Samson had a relationship with the Lord. But I got thinking, with that in mind, how did Samson go from being all that I've talked about to being a captive? How does that happen in a person's life? How do you go from being blessed by God and the Spirit of God moving upon you and doing some great things? How do you go from all that to being a captive with the Philistines? Well, I got thinking, here's what I'm going to preach on just a minute this morning. On what went wrong with Samson. What went wrong with Samson? Now, I'm going to preach to our young people, but I'm preaching us adults as well, because it also applies to us. There are three things that we find in Samson's life that led to his downfall. Now, I'm going to say this, hear me good. God's been burning this in my heart. God's been a burden to me to preach this morning. So I know this. I've known some folk are traveling today. But I knew this. God knew who would be here today. Now there's some, I'm going to get it to the preacher boys because it'll help them in their ministry. Others, if you know somebody missing, young or middle-aged or whatever, you get them a copy of this. They need to hear it because this affects all of us. We can go from doing well to doing wrong. Amen. There is nobody in this church house today perfect. Amen. Nobody here has arrived. You don't need to be a peacock throwing up them feathers and strutting. You have nothing to strut about. have nothing to strut about. We're sinners saved by grace. If it wasn't for our Lord, we'd be goners. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be ensnared in sin this very morning. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be in church today. Amen. So none of us of ourselves have any area to brag in. I don't care how many verses you quote. Ladies, I don't care how long your skirt or your hair is. Fellows, how short your hair is and you're wearing a tie. I'm going to tell you, it's the grace of God that we have not made shipwreck in our lives. Amen. How can a person, I've got preacher friends that's messed up. I've seen church folk through the years I've been saved that have gone from doing well to becoming a captive of sin, to wrecking their life. How does that come about? How can a Christian get in such a shape in our day? Well, let's look at the life of Samson, three things, and I believe you'll understand what went wrong with Samson. Number one, he hung around in the wrong places. Amen. Look back there, Judges 14 and verse 1. The Bible said, and Samson went down to Timnath. Now, that's a Philistine city. That is not controlled by the people of God. The Philistines have overrun this city. He goes down to Timnath. You ought to underline the word down there too. Because when you get a walking away from God, there ain't but one direction you can go, down. Amen. You study it in the book of Jonah. What happened to him? When he fled from the presence of the Lord, wouldn't do what God said, it kept saying down. He went down and he went down. Hey, we find Samson went to the wrong place there in Timnath. We find that also in Judges 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza. He goes to another Philistine city. He is hanging around the wrong places. We find out in verse 4 about a woman named Delilah, who was a woman in the valley of Sorek. So he went there as well. He just kept going to the wrong places. Everybody look at the preacher this morning. If you go to the wrong places, you are headed for a mess. You are headed to be ensnared by the devil and the flesh and the world. I don't care who you are. We cannot get running with the world in their places and stay unspotted from the world. Amen. Now, hey, I'm not talking about being an isolationist. I'm not talking about that. You have to live in this world. But you ain't got to go to certain places. Amen. You see, a Christian has no business in a bar. I'm talking about out of the way, seedy, wicked, ungodly bar with all the wickedness that goes with it. You don't need to be there. Oh, preacher, I'm going to be a designated driver. You don't need to be. Hello. You see, you're getting awful close with that crowd. You got to understand something. You are still flesh. We still have moments of weakness. Hello. And everybody really look and listen to me. And if you're, before you got saved, if you was wrapped up in liquor, you better stay as far away from it as you can get. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get one of them periods of time in your life that the heavens seem like brass and God ain't moving as fast as you want him to move and everything ain't going in your favor, there'll be a moment of weakness and lapse in you and you're liable to get snared again. Amen. Same thing with a drug house. You say, I want to witness to them. You know where the place they hang out to. You ain't got to go to the drug house. Amen. And let me just say this for you that's got off of drugs when you got saved. You better even be careful about when you get hurt taking painkillers. I know people got saved out of life of dope and hurt their back or something, have surgery, have great pain, get taken painkiller, and get hooked on them and get right back in the same mess. Why is it? Your flesh got a dependency going. And I'm telling you, you better stay away from it. Amen. Hey, you've got no business down there. Amen. Hey, I know this kind of preaching is different for a lot of folks. Some of you hear this kind of for the first time, but you're hearing it. Amen. And the reason I'm preaching, it ain't that I can get up here and mouth off. It's because God's burnt this in my heart. And there's folk right here today, if you don't start paying attention where you're going, where you're hanging out, you're liable to get your life in a mess. Amen. That old lifestyle, them old places, amen. Hey, the parties. Well, preacher, I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to use the drug. What are you doing down there? I'm going to say that again. What are you doing down there? What are you doing? You're trying to live close to the edge? You realize that tightrope act will end one day. You'll fall off one way or the other. Amen. I'm just trying to get you to understand. You got to be careful where you go. Hey, church is the best place for a Christian to go. Amen. There ain't another place like the house of God. If you'll come to church like I do. I'm not bragging on me, but I'm telling you something. I ain't going to come in here and look you over and determine what I'm going to do in this service by what you look like. Amen. I've been walking with God during the week, and what he puts on my heart, I'm going to preach it. I ain't going to preach by sight. Amen. And I'm not going to let the way you look hinder me from worshiping God, because you're going to have a bad day. Hello? I mean, you come in some Sunday smiling, kid, glory to God, I've been listening to good music. Preacher, I'm excited to preach to us today. And then there are going to be them other weeks. Amen. You're going to look sour, sad, pitiful. Amen. I can't watch you. I didn't come to watch you. I come to see him high and lifted up. Amen. And that's what you need to learn to do. You need to forget about this crowd and come in here to see him. Amen. But during the week, hear me, you got to be careful where you're going in places. Amen. I know that this don't fit the new modern church's messages. They don't think you have to change at all. But salvation, according to this New Testament, produces a change. All things pass away. All things become new. And by the way, he did say all. Amen. See, the getting saved is a transformation. Amen. It will absolutely turn your world all around. It'll make a difference in you. Amen. So Samson went wrong because he began to go to the wrong places. Let me say number two. No, he went to the wrong places. He began to hang around the wrong people in these places. Look back at Judges chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. We find a woman in Timnath, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. She got hanging around the wrong people. Look over in chapter 16, verse 1. Man, here's somebody that God's raised up in this verse. When you read this verse, you remember that. God let his parents know, hey, you're going to have a boy, name him Samson. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be a deliverer. He's going to be a judge. Keep that in mind while I'm reading this verse. Judges 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to gaze at and listen and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Wow. Preacher, I don't believe he did it. I don't believe he ever knew God. He did know God. God raised him up. Hello. When you get hanging around the wrong places, you're going to get hanging around the wrong people. It goes on in chapter 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Hey. He went down, he went wrong because he'd hang around the wrong places and he began to hang around the wrong people. Amen. Now you hear me, and I'm going to get into this thing for a minute. You hear me good. I'll be a friend to anybody. I'm kind, I'm considerate to anybody. I don't care if I meet them on the street and they're a drunkard, a doper, whatever. I'll be kind to them. I'll tell them about the love of Christ. Amen. Hey, if they're hungry and I've got it my ability and they're there, I'll help feed them. I'll do it. But you hear me something. I'm not going to run with them. I can't run with them. You can't run with them. Preacher, I'm going to win them. You'll never win them. There's got to keep a distinction in your life and the world. There's got to be. Otherwise, they're never going to want Christ because they'll never see Christ in you. Amen. I know this is kind of hard to swallow, but I'm telling you right, and I'm telling you because I love you. You see, wrong friends, wrong relationships, wrong business partners will corrupt you. It'll mess you up. You can't. You cannot become part of them. Now, I'm going to read you some verses. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 14. Listen to this. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 14. The people are saying, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one person. Come be with us. Be one of us. You can't do that. Well, preacher, why can't I? Why can't I run up the world during the week and come to church on Sunday and be all right? Because right here, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Listen to what the Bible, I'm giving you the Bible. You all right with the Bible? Will you believe the Bible? You are a Bible believer? You'll take what the Bible says, right? I'm a Bible believer. I believe it. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 27, 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Your friends affect you. They can mold you. They can shape you, even when you don't think they're doing it. You see, really, in the beginning, you'll never know what's happening, because folk never do in the beginning. Then when you get down the road, you even ask yourself, how did I get here? How did I get in this shape? By hanging around the wrong places and the wrong people. Let me read you something back over here in the book of 1 Kings. Boy, I've been reading in my personal devotions the book of 1 Kings. I'm getting ready to start 2 Kings this week. But in my personal devotion, I run across this and the Holy Ghost brought it to my remembrance. See, that's how he does. He'll bring back what you put in. Don't put nothing in, ain't nothing to bring back. Amen. He brought this back. Now, while I was sitting the other day in the office, got studying the scripture, and early again this morning, here's some verse he brought to my mind. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. But King Solomon, now remember this, Solomon was a wise king. Solomon had great riches. Solomon had great peace. Solomon, oh man, you talk about having it all. Solomon had it. But King Saul loved many strange women. Proverbs talks a lot about that. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave, that's sticking like glue, Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Now let me hit one rabbit and let me tell you something. God never gave the green light on all them wives, nor on them concubines. He never put his approval on that. God will bless you in spite of you sometimes. That's right. You're saying, hey, I'm telling you that's the way it is. Did you notice? Did you know? And his wives turned away his heart. That crowd you're hanging around, they're pointing you somewhere. If they're right with God, they're going to cause you to want to get closer to God. That's right. Hanging around spirit-filled safe folk is a good thing. Amen. Now, even at that, I don't hang every day with them. God's gave me a wife, I hang with her. She's the one God gave me as my helpmeet. So I'm going to hit a rabbit right there too. I'm fine with going to eat with other couples. I'll do that. I'm glad to do that. But I'm not going to run with one set, particular set of couple, one couple, and just do everything. And can't do nothing if they don't go. You're about to get in trouble. You're creating breeding ground for adultery is what you're doing. Now, you don't like that, and that's okay, but I'm right. You're creating a breeding ground for adultery, hanging around another couple all the time, even at church. If you can't do anything without going, them being involved, there's something going wrong with you. If you're married, God gave you somebody to hang out with all the time. Amen. I'm trying to help adult keep your family out of adultery and fornication. That's why I'm not headed to cell groups either. I'll just go ahead and tell you that too while I'm at it. Boy, they don't have church on Sunday night. They go have cell group. It's breeding ground for adultery. Mark her down. It's breeding ground for adultery. Amen. Hey, you say I ain't coming back. Well, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to give you truth that'll help keep you out of a mess. I love you enough. Hey, if somebody's your friend, they will tell you the truth. They will preach you what's right, even if it upsets you. I love you that much, Gateway, that I will preach you what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. So, hey, Solomon, Samson, those he hung around, turned their hearts, got them going in the wrong direction. It'll happen to you. Hey, even in your dating, hey, young people, even in your dating, you make sure they're really saved. You make sure that they really dedicate their life to God. You make sure they're full of the Holy Ghost. You make sure of that. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, you be real cautious. You be real cautious of someone who just sprouts up overnight about giving your heart over to an individual like that. You be careful. You be careful. See, the devil, his demons can be angels of light, can become looking like angels. They'll come to church looking like everybody else. Have all the right words. Are you hearing your preacher this morning? Hey, it's easy to come up with the lingo. It's another thing to have the life. Amen. Hey, so he began hanging around the wrong places. He began to hang around the wrong people. Let me read you a verse of Scripture over the book of 2 Corinthians. Let me read you several verses. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the lost. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because all this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's God that said be separate. It's not that I'm just, it's not so I have a mess, it's what God said. It is what God commands. It is what God demands. People are leaving fundamental churches, going to the mega church to hide because nothing is expected out of them. No demands. You hear me? No, you don't need to change. Just come, be a better you. Right? Feel better about yourself. But that ain't what the Bible teaches. The Bible said all sin comes short of the glory of God. Our only hope's Christ. He's the one that changes lives. Amen. So we find that the Bible is, he went wrong because he went the wrong places. Got hanging around the wrong people. Number three, he had the wrong plans. The wrong plans. You see, originally, there was the sovereign's plan, God's plan, in other words. What was God's plan? Judges 13:5, him to be a deliverer. Judges 15:20, he's to be a judge. That's God's plan for Samson's life. God even let his mom and daddy know this is what he's to do. This is how he's to act. This is how he's to dress. This is what he's supposed to do. God's laid out in his word his plan for our life as his people. It is a highway of holiness. God is more interested in your holiness than he is your happiness. Now, that ain't the megachurch is different, isn't it? They major on being happy. Be happy with yourself. Well, you can convince yourself to be happy in your sin. Oh, yes, you can. You can say, it's okay, it's okay. And it's not okay. God is interested in you living a holy, consecrated, dedicated life. Amen. Hey, the sovereign's plan. He's to be a deliverer. He's to be a judge. But here's Samson's plans. Now, he's done now. Like I said, over this weekend, God, let me see, 20 years. So there's a portion of this year, Brother Tim, he's lived for God. He did something to get in Hebrews 11. It wasn't just because he was born. Amen. But something happened to Samson, didn't it? Something happened to him. Got the wrong place, the wrong people. But then he got the wrong place. Because notice his plan. Look, life to Samson was like this. You ready? It was a life of riddles. Judges 14, verse 8 through 18. It was playtime. Playtime. He lived, quote, look at me, quote, to have fun. Life is just have fun. He's playing riddles with the wrong crowd. Hello. I want you to look at me and you hear me something right here. This world gone entertainment crazy. Entertainment crazy. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with entertainment of itself. There's nothing wrong with you having fun. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a difference you having fun and fun controlling you. He got to living for them riddles, for the entertainment. Amen. Now, I'm all for it. You know we do extra things with our young folk. They went up and done a hayride and other things the other Saturday. We had an event for the younger folk. Those are great things, but that ain't our drawing card. Amen. You'll plant me in the ground or run me off before that becomes the main thing at Gateway. I ain't just blowing wind. I mean that. It's all right to have fun. I'm going to tell you where we're at this morning. This is the main thing. Amen. This is what it's all about right here. Amen. Hey, by the way, I will tell you this. I want to word it like this. Yes, God can feed you in your heart at home in the Bible as you read and study and pray, but you're in the main dining hall this morning. This is where the grub gets put on the table. Amen. This is the main meal right here in the preaching of the Word of God. That's right. You need preaching. I need preaching. Amen. All right. Samson got to where life's a riddle. Life's a game. Amen. I want to say this, and I'm being kind. Fellas, some of you need to begin growing up. That's right. Man, I'm going to tell you, being a husband, a daddy, it's serious business. Amen. I know. It don't set well. I know that. But I'm telling you, life ain't a game. Amen. Samson, his plan is, I'm just going to play around a little bit. I'm going to have some fun. I've been living by the rules so long. It's time for me to have some fun. I heard a preacher doing that just a few years ago, too, and he's in prison. You better be careful about this business. Amen. Hey, his plans also included revenge. In Judges chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, back about that riddle, they outsmarted Samson. They got the answer through his first wife. You hear me? They outsmarted Samson. Samson got mad, and he said, I'm getting revenge. I'm getting even. So he goes, catches these foxes, ties their tails together, puts a firebrand in, and let them loose out in the standing corn. That was, hey, you know, listen to me. This is amazing to me. You find where when he fights Philistines, the Spirit of God moves. But when he does this tying foxes' tail together, the Spirit of God didn't move on him. You hearing me? He done that by himself. Amen. He wanted revenge. You be careful. Bless God, I'll get even with them. You in trouble. You're about to go down a path you don't want to go down. You're going to get roots of bitterness. You're going to get all kinds of stuff in your life that'll take a lifetime to get out of you. Amen. Hey, you let God handle that crowd. Amen. I'll settle this. You let God settle it. Amen. Hey, his plans involved riddles and revenge. His plans involved relationships. Three different women. The woman in Timnath, the harlot at Gaza, and Delilah down there in the valley of Sorek. Relationships. He just poured himself into them women. And the women all played him. You realize that? Every one of them. That don't mean women are bad fellows. That means you better get the right one. I want to tell you something. God, everybody, you young folk, you hear me. God has the right one for you. And you better pray and find that one. Amen. There's a life of reaping if you don't. And there's folk here, they've gone through that, and they're right with God, and they're serving God. Yeah, but they'll tell you this morning, they're living with a lot of regret. You hear me? They're loaded down this morning. They wish they'd done right the first go round. That's right. I'm not being mean. I ain't browbeating nobody. Hey, he got played a fool. Samson did. All he did, and he winds up a captive. Man, you think about that just a minute. He's gone from being delivered to being a judge to being a captive. Let me word it like this. As far as plans, and I'm telling you, God's plan is more important for your life than your plans. Amen. Now, sometimes things you get wanting, plans you have, God sees that that hits in part of His and incorporates it sometimes. He sure does. But you better make sure it's Him incorporating it. Amen. You act like we can't have fun and can't do. You'd have fun. I laugh every Sunday I come in here. Amen. I laugh when I'm fellowshiping with individuals during the week. Oh, I enjoy life. But here, you say, I want meaning for life. Well, let me read you some verses. Again, the Bible says, it all right me keep saying that. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Hey, what is life? Let's bottom line, what's life? He goes on to say, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Whole duty of man. Whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Listen to one more verse. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Life is Christ. Paul said in Philippians, for to me, he said, I am not speaking nobody. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ needs to be your life. He needs to be your life. Amen. Hey, you talk about staying out of trouble. If Christ really is your life, everything else in life gets right in its right place. And friend, you have fun. I never want young people to ever think you can't. Oh, yeah, you can. Man, why do you think me and Tim went in there and with them masks on to Miss Sarah Holler trick or treat? We try and cheer her up. You had Gonzo and Kermit the Frog come in with her. Amen. Hey, you can have fun. But listen, fun can't control you, and you do what God wants you to do in this life. Amen. Hey, there is a balance, and I know it's a hard balance to keep, but you can keep it. Amen. Hey, what went wrong with Samson? He got going around the wrong places, the wrong people, with the wrong plans. You stay in the will of God. It is the best place. It is the safest place for you is the will of God. Father, take the message now. Use it.
I pray that some Christian will receive help today. I pray some sinner, Lord, the Spirit of God would speak to them. They would be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, have your will and way in the invitation time, and we'll give you glory for all things that you do, for we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed a moment. I wonder, is there someone today would say, preacher, I'm lost. I don't know the Lord as Savior.